been given access to receive messages of clarity, guidance, and love. As channeler, psychotherapist, and author, Noemi Grace has an intimate dialogue with the divine on your behalf. Lisa Berry, creator of the show Light on Living, will be co-hosting as live callers ask their burning question on self-love, self-healing, deepening relationships, areas of struggle, and next steps. By simply listening in, you're receiving wisdom that will lead to sacred stability from every channeled message that Noemi delivers. Join us now as we give you access to angels and grace. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Access to Angels and Grace. And we've accessed our way right into 2021. Yippee! Hello, Noemi!
Hello, Lisa. Oh, well, it's been quite the 2021 so far for those of us in the U.S. So our topic today, using compassion as your compass, so needed. So excited to see what comes forward because we never know. We're as surprised as everyone else.
I know. And I've already got the pleasure of hearing one of the pre-channeled messages from you. And there was one thing in there that was... And you don't even know, which is fun, which I was like, oh, that's a big one. We need to talk about that. But what I would love to do, Noemi, is I'm going to go ahead and read the inspired story that came to me for today's. Yes, we'll start and then.
Yes, please read that. I love it.
And it's always fun what shows up for each show. It's always comes in a different format, a different costume. So here we go, everyone. Destination, Kingdom of Miracles. Excuse me. Oh, hi there. I'm hoping you can help me with directions, as my compass seems to be broken. If I could only find my true north again, I know I could turn myself around. You see, I got lost and separated from my true self when that giant pain storm ripped through and caused such devastation. It left me wounded and my compass needle misaligned. I've been going around in emotional circles, unable to move forward. I seem to be stuck in the wrong kingdom. I think I'm in the kingdom of broken and lost. But what I'm really looking for is the kingdom of miracles. I've been traveling for some time now. Along the way, I've asked how to realign my needle and find my true north. I've received a few helpful messages. I've been told that a willingness to shift my perception will help me to read my compass more clearly. And if I let compassion be my compass, that will set me on my true path to the kingdom of miracles once again. We do the questions that come up for us, and I mean, this is what we come up with, is are you wanting to journey to the kingdom of miracles yourself? And are you ready to experience the miracles of living beyond wounds, which is our series?
I love your creativity and how you put that together. It's at the beginning it sounds like my favorite quote from Alice in Wonderland, where Alice asks the cat which way should she go, and but she has no idea where she wants to go. But here we have wanting to find the true north. So I like that, because our hearts know that we want to find our true self. We want to find ourselves. We want to be ourselves. We want to live ourselves. We want to heal ourselves. We want to show up fully as ourselves. We want that. Even if we're afraid of it somewhere deep down inside, even if we feel like we have to masquerade ourselves to not be that because we don't really know who we really are, somewhere deep down inside, we do want that. And it's so beautiful.
It's the knowing. It's that we do know who we are that causes that separation, that pain. Because if we didn't know where, we wouldn't even know that we were, you know, like frustrated or why does this always happen to me or in pain and I can't move forward. We would just think that's what it is and we wouldn't have anything to compare it to.
Yes, because we are the wound and the reading that the pre-channeled message, as you called it, talks about that, how the wound creates that separation between us and who we think we are and who we really are. Because when we get wounded, we see ourselves as diminished. We see ourselves as unwhole and unhealthy and maybe not strong, not powerful, not beautiful. And so that creates that separation where our perception of ourself is there's big, like a rift between our separation, our perception of ourselves and who we really are.
Yes, I love that you actually just said that. Unwhole, like we are whole, but we feel unwhole. And that's what's, oh my gosh, I feel like that's it. We are separated from that feeling, that loving comfort and feeling of knowing that we are whole. But so we still know that we're whole, but we can't feel it because there's a rift, like you said. I thought of a snow drift when you said that, but I feel like there's I've been walking
you
on too many
from
lakes.
The kingdom of the north.
True north. Yes, indeed. Yes. There you go. Well, I would love it because the pre-channeled message for me, they're always amazing, but this one really held a lot of questions and realization. So if you're ready, I would love for you to read that because there's something I need to ask.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So this pre-channeled message, what Lisa calls, is I sit down usually a couple days before the show, sometimes a week before, and sit with the divine and say, this is what we are envisioning talking about. Where do you want to start? What it's kind of like I sit there and go, okay, what do you have to say about this? And and there's always plenty. And so sometimes I try to shorten the messages and read only a piece, but I couldn't even begin to do that with this because it's juicy. And so I will just read the whole thing and it will bring us to some clarity, and then Lisa will have questions as she always does, and they're great questions. I love Lisa's questions. So here we go. The wound creates separation. It separates you from the truth of who you are, and it separates you from compassion, especially for yourself. In this state of woundedness, you lose perspective, and the wound becomes larger in your mind, sometimes larger than life itself. The wound redirects you from the truth of who you are in the depths of your being, and it causes you to perceive yourself as lacking, broken, and sometimes lost. When you become lost, you have difficulty finding your way back to yourself because the wound becomes a giant boulder that fills up your whole vision. Your perception is skewed, distorted by seeing the wound this way. Even when the wound is huge, it is much smaller than the truth of who you are. But you don't see it this way because the wound distorts your vision, and you don't see it because you are short of compassion. The path out of the wound to the truth of who you are requires compassion and acceptance. If you resist or reject the wound, it only becomes bigger in your perception. Stop resisting the wound. Stop burying the wound alive. Burying it, avoiding it, and rejecting it does not make it go away. It only strengthens it, giving it deeper roots in your mind and life. Love the wound. You will reject this statement and say to us, "How can I love the wound? It causes me great pain." We say, "Love the wound," by having compassion for it and for yourself. Compassion is love and connection. It is the outflow of love from you to another or to yourself and even to the wound. You want to dissolve the wound? You want to be free of it? Then love it by way of compassion. Stop judging yourself in the wound. Accept that you are wounded and also accept that you are so much greater than the wound. In fact, the wound makes you greater if you embrace the many gifts it brings you. The wound is an opening to the depths of your being, a portal to the truth of who you are. Do not resist the wound. If you do, you resist knowing yourself in the depths of your being. You prevent yourself from being free of it. You see, the wound awakens the essence, the truth of who you are, which for many of you lay dormant before the wound. We say to you that the greater your wound, the greater the truth of who you are, the larger and brighter your essence is. This does not mean that those who have been spared big wounds in this lifetime are smaller. You are all so much greater than you realize, and you won't see or access that greatness if you continue to reject yourselves through rejecting the wound. Have compassion for yourself and the wound, which has temporarily integrated itself with you for the purpose of opening you to your deeper self and giving you a greater access point to who you are. Dive deep through the wound, and you will discover yourself, the real you, that you may never have even known. In compassion for yourself and the wound, you open yourself to the gifts of the wound. In truth, many of you never would discover these gifts apart from the wound. The wound opens you literally. And if you don't shut down too much in response, it can show you the doorway to freedom. And the doorway is through compassion. Compassion is one of the greatest gifts that the wound brings you. And without compassion, you will never know yourself or even find yourself. Compassion is your compass, directing you to the truth of who you are. It is a gateway to your freedom. If you cannot find compassion, ask us. We would be delighted to assist you in this way. In great compassion and love, we are complete. Namaste.
See, and there's even more in there than right now. Oh my gosh. Okay. Noemi, I have to say this one. Because this is the second series of wounds for us here on Access
of Beyond Grace. Wounds. Of Beyond Wounds.
Yes. So, yeah, the first one we did was Living Beyond Wounds. But this series is about the miracles of living beyond wounds. And you've heard Noemi in that pre-channeled message, is the word a gift, like lots of the gifts. And this one, and one of them, I love that you... It was shared that one of the great gifts of the wound, it's compassion. And my thing was when I first started talking about this was, I was like, what if, because the one thing that was said, this is my big question, this is where this is all coming from, okay. That the wound can seem larger than life. That hit me a lot. Because we have a life. We create that life. We make the decisions. But when sometimes there's this wound and it's larger, it is us. It's larger than us. And what was followed up with was that smaller than the truth of... But the wound is still smaller than the truth of who you are.
Yes, yes.
My question around that was, sometimes, yes, the wound is so much larger than life. How the heck do we turn the switch of compassion on even? And that was where that was. It was like, the wound is that big. How?
So you're envisioning compassion as an on-off switch?
Well, yes, I guess it was, because sometimes it goes off. You're like, no, you get nothing from me. You are a horrible failure, miserable, like yourself or somebody else, or you've done me wrong, or you let me down. And it feels like sometimes, yeah, for me, I totally can want to just rip that compassion right away. Like, nope, you cannot have that treat.
You don't deserve it, huh? Because you're wounded.
Right. Yes. You don't deserve compassion. So when it's larger than life, like,
oh. Yeah. I know that, you know, obviously we're not going to get that answer from the divine before the commercial, but for me, just in listening, and I have my perspective on things. And then when I check in with the divine, I get so much more, get bigger. Sometimes I get something different than what my perspective is. But for me, you know, when that wound becomes larger than life, we're identified with it. I used to work with victims of domestic violence, and we would sit in this, I'd have a group, and they would, domestic violence survivors group, never liked that name, but they would sit there and they'd all be, I am so-and-so, I am a survivor, that's who I am a survivor, I am a survivor. And they, like, the wound was so big in their lives, so organizing, and it was horrible stuff, and I'm not diminishing them for that at all. I mean, their stories were heartbreaking, but I remember even way back then, and this was a long time ago, where I would sit with them and say, I want you to be a thriver, not a survivor. This group is about learning to be a thriver, so in order to be a thriver, you can't be hanging on to that thing because it's pulling you back. It's pulling you back into the past, and it's weighing you down. And that was kind of eye-opening for them, where it was like, really? Huh. They had never considered that they could be anything beyond they survived. You know, that was their identity.
That was a power shift. A survivor feels like, I just barely did it, and I feel good that I'm surviving, but you didn't deserve more. But when you're thriving, that is a power placement switch. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so many ways that we become wounded, obviously, but there's so many ways that we see ourselves as less than because we're wounded, that we see ourselves as not good enough, unlovable, unworthy, whatever our core wound is, right? That big wound that's inside of all of us, you know, that one, when we access that one, it feels larger than life. It can paralyze us. And compassion, yes, makes a huge, huge, huge shift. And we can talk about that some more after the commercial.
Yes.
Because I think we'll be going there soon.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to but you know what? I love that you said that. Let's how to access the core wound and offer it compassion. Ooh, when we get back, I'm so excited.
We're a minute ahead of schedule.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The universe is eager to help you and give you clarity. You only need to be willing to ask your burning question and listen to the answer Source wants you to have. As a channeler of divine messages, I take your questions directly to the divine and hear what Source is longing to tell you. I'm Noemi Grace, and my co-host Lisa Berry and I welcome you to join us as a listener or caller on Access to Angels and Grace, 2 Wednesdays a month. Call in, ask your most burning questions, hear the divine's exact words giving you guidance and clarity. Access to Angels and Grace, where messages of joy await you.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of The Stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back. I have to announce this beautiful title again. Yes, Miracles of Living Beyond Wounds. Miracles. And Noemi, if I might, what does a miracle mean to you?
So I remember I did this interview once and I got to ask that question, and I was so in such an inspired place that I've been trying to remember what I said. But for me, a miracle is something that couldn't transpire. It couldn't unfold based on without some kind of intervention, some kind of change. The miracle requires the change, right? The caterpillar to the butterfly is a miracle. If you look at that caterpillar, there's no natural way, you would think, that it could become, and it can't. It has to dissolve itself and all of that. But it's a transformation that requires some kind of shift, some kind of change, something, an intervention, if you will, like a divine intervention. It requires something to change course, to change the essence. Ooh, it requires a change to the essence of who you are, the essence of what is. That change internal can create the miracle. Without it,
Yes. Oh, and you know what? I love that you just said that, because earlier I specifically wrote down from the pre-channeled message that the wound awakens your essence. So if that actually, yeah. So okay, ooh, we can unwrap this a little bit here. Hold on here.
I like that. Yes.
The miracle. Okay. How did you just word that again? The miracle and the
It requires a change to the essence, a transformation that changes the essence of something.
And so with the wound awakening the essence, so we have a trance. Oh, I know. The wound, my gosh. It feels like the wound occurs because that's the event. The event happens, the wound's there to awaken the essence so that the miracle is the transformation. Oh, yes. I so get it. Yes, it's a beautiful picture.
Right. The miracle is not the wound. The wound creates that portal, that opening for the change in the essence. And it's not that the essence within us changes in substance. I mean, we are that essence, but we have been disconnected from it. And so it creates an opening for us to access that essence. And that in and of itself is a miracle. I mean, there's an opening where there wasn't one. It's like the parting of the Red Sea, you know? It's like, oh, now you can
it's
go
like the
to
lotus
the other
too.
Side. It's like what?
It's the unfolding of, it's like the lotus. The unfolding.
Lotus. Ooh. I like that.
So now this requires a question now. This is the question coming forward. Because we know compassion is one of the ingredients. And to this. So, and we know that the end, that miracle will happen if we must believe it. But so it's the compassion to see the wound differently than, I know in the pre-channeled message, it talked about pushing it down, suppressing, hiding the wound away. And it's the compassion is what allows us to not hide it. That's what it is. The compassion.
It allows the compassion allows us to be with it. To be with
it. Yes. Yes.
We're both getting excited now.
I know. We're like, we've got the keywords, like figuring out a code. The access code.
We need the hashtags for the divine source. Here are
That's
the hashtags.
Right. But the access code, a lot of people, I can feel this. This is where the pain is coming from, whereas they can't even look at it. They're just like, no, I've done something so wrong, so terrible, so unforgivable, or I've allowed something to happen, where the compassion just isn't there to look at, to be with it enough to allow. So that is our question, I think, for the divine. It's coming through so much. It's back to the switch of compassion, but not really. It's where to start, how to ask the questions to open up to compassion, to be with the wound.
How to ask questions? Is that what your question is?
I like
asking questions. I mean, so I'm happy with that.
It's what questions, what questions to ask, and how to ask it when we don't feel that we even deserve to ask the questions. Like, I feel that pain even asking it, like that shame.
Yes. That pain of not deserving is so huge, 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 huge. Yeah. And that really does keep us in separation. And so one of the things that I've learned from working with the divine is that it is really powerful to ask questions, and not the why is this happening to me? Why do these things always happen? Right. Not the poor me kind of questions, but to ask deeper questions, to ask more empowered questions, and your clarity comes, insight comes, and the path to freedom opens up. So a lot of times I'll get channeled messages and they'll say, And I was transcribing one yesterday, and it was all about these wonderful questions to ask. And it was like, wow, really cool. You know, so I love it. So, yeah, how do we get to that place? How do we ask? What do we ask? Yeah, that sounds
can
awesome.
We just focus. I have to do the highlight on that. I love that you said, and not the poor me questions. That if you ask the poor me questions, you are asking to stay stuck.
It so makes you a victim, right? And every time you're a victim, you're attached. You're stuck in. You're attached to the past. It's like a new tether to the past. So you're all these tethered. You have all of these cords between you and the past, and you can't be free of the past if you're a victim. So
these are cord-free questions.
Okay. So I'm just going to get a swig of water, and then I'm going to get quiet for a few seconds and greet the divine and turn it over to them, and they, Source, will have something amazing to share. I can feel it building up. I have no idea what it's going to be, but in a few seconds, we'll all know.
And I will mute myself.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Divine. We're so grateful that you can help us to free ourselves, to access the compassion, to ask the questions that will show us the way to compassion, that will open the way to compassion, that will connect us with compassion. So whatever you can share with us, we're so grateful. And we are so grateful for this question as well, because this question touches the heart of who you are. Compassion is your true nature. It is love in connection. It is love expressing itself. And our love, divine love, unconditional love, is at the heart of who you all are. And many have been separated from this truth and the experience of this truth. But it does not change the truth that you are all love, and love expresses itself through compassion. And we understand that for you, there is a lot of suffering when the wound occurs, and the wound offers you the opportunity to suffer it. It creates pain, so you suffer automatically. But you can transform that suffering by seeking compassion, by seeking connection with yourself. If you can dive deep into yourself in that suffering, you go beneath the suffering, you go deeper than the suffering, you discover something beautiful and profoundly wonderful, which is the truth of who you are. And so you may say, how can I get there? How do we get there? And we say to you, the first step is an open heart. Be open. Open to access that compassion. Be open to see the truth of who you are. Be open to letting go of the stranglehold you may have on the wound and that the wound may have on you. You are attached to the wound, and you are holding yourself to the wound and the wound to you, and you are holding the inflictor of the wound, whether it be you or someone else, you are holding them with the stranglehold. And that is all locking you in a three-way strangle. You, the wound, and whomever you see as the perpetrator, which may be you or someone else. And so be willing to let go of that stranglehold. We speak a lot about willingness because this is where it starts. If you are unwilling, then there is no possibility for change. Unwillingness keeps you mired where you are. And willingness starts to soften the mud that is caked around your feet, keeping you stuck. Willingness starts to open, separate the mist, and open the path before you. And so be willing to let go. Be willing to let go of the judgment of yourself and the judgment that you hold on others and the judgment on the wound and the woundedness that you perceive with yourself. So start with willingness. Start with it. And then we say to you, step out of that perspective that you are holding that keeps the wound front and center, that keeps the wound so large? And ask yourself, if I did not believe I was wounded, if I did not experience myself as so wounded, if I did not experience this wound so deeply, how would I see this? How would I experience this? What would be different in my life? What would be different in my life if I did not see myself as wounded? So start with more, these are the objective questions. Start with an objective question. If someone else didn't see me as wounded, how would they see me? How would I see myself if I didn't see myself as wounded? Start to imagine the possibility of seeing yourself as not wounded. Because in truth, you are all wounded, and yet you are not wounded at the same time. Because the essence, the kernel, the truth of who you are is unwoundable. And it is immortal, timeless, beautiful, unconditional love, powerful beyond measure. And that is the kernel of who you are. And yet you are in the human form with so much more than that kernel, so many layers on top of that. And in those layerings, there is wounding. And in those layers, there is wounds, and there are pains, and there is suffering. And yet that is, it is very real. But is not the real, it is very real because it is your reality, and yet the real you is much deeper, much more powerful. So start with curiosity to explore the real you. If you are courageous, you may ask friends, family, what do you see about me that is lovable? What do you see about me that is beautiful? What do you see about me that is powerful? What do you see about me that is not wounded, that is not wounded? Starting to explore the unwounded nature of the truth of who you are, of your true essence. And others will see it. If you surround yourself with people who love you, they will see the true beauty of who you are much, much more easily and much deeper than you do. So ask them, what is unwounded about me? Ask others. It takes courage to ask others. Ask those that love you, not those that abuse you, not those that judge you. But if you find those, and even if you do not know these kind of people, there are so many avenues, so many circles, so many groups that you virtually, that you can connect with and share yourself with, and they will see the beauty of who you are. Because if you connect with higher vibrational people, they will see. If you connect with people who are not seeing through judgment, if you connect with people who are seeing through eyes of love, they will see you in this way. So start to shift the questions from judgment-based to love and acceptance-based. And in that love and acceptance is compassion. And in compassion, you accept the frailty, the vulnerability, the injured parts of you, and you accept that you are beautiful anyway, that you are lovable anyway, that you are powerful anyway, that you are extraordinary beyond measure anyway. So starting to shift, start to recognize when you are in victim consciousness, when you're in victim mode, when the questions and the statements that are coming through in your mind are all victimized statements, victimized questions. Those poor me questions, yes, those are victimized. Victimization is your reality for so many of you, and it need not be. You can perceive your life through any lens, and the lenses you choose create your reality. Can you adopt the lens of compassion? We say yes, you can. It takes practice. Start to ask compassionate questions. How can I accept myself more through this? How can I treat myself with kindness even though I am wounded? How can I begin to heal more through compassion and acceptance? There is so much grace available for you. We love you so much. We are complete. Namaste.
Ooh.
Wow, that was a lot.
Ah,
wow.
Yes. Oh, wow. There was hugeness from there for me. I hope that all of you listening right now received quite a bit there. Like, there's about two shows that just came out of there. No, I mean,
well, that's great. No, yes. No lack of topics for further shows.
That is so true. And I really, first of all, I want to thank Source Divine for sharing this specific thing. I loved when they said, when you are asking someone something, don't ask the ones who are abusive and judgmental. So I really love the direction, the ask others, but just don't ask the people who are not able to give you compassion. That was a nice,
so important
reminder. Mm-hmm. Yes. If you feel that you are possibly, you know, always abused by your mother or father and it's not a comfortable relationship, don't ask them. That's not where to go. And one, I'm going to bring this up. I know we're going to commercial in a minute, but something that was a huge, huge thing that just came out for me, and I would love to just really dive into this when we come back, Noemi, is
Sure. When
you were talking about asking for help, and I got the feeling that there are many of us who feel this would be a question for them. Can I ask for help if I'm not wounded? I feel like a lot of people are so attached to being wounded that they feel they need to be in pain. Like, if they weren't in pain and they weren't wounded, could they ask for help? No, they would feel like, why do I don't need help. I should pull. I'm strong. I don't need help. But do we have to connect? Yes. Do you know what I'm saying, Noemi? Like,
let's sit with it through the commercial. Okay. I feel it gelling. I feel it congealing. So
yes, a lot more.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay, so there you go.
Everybody has
a little bit of a thing, and they're like, ooh, I don't know if I can ask for help unless I was injured. Then come on back, because this is going to go deep. I can feel it. Thank you so much for being here with us. Noemi Grace, Lisa Berry on Access to Angels and Grace.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, lightworkers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Gosh, every time I hear that commercial, Noemi, I really want egg rolls. Do you really do?
I like how the Cubans have cool toys and...
Yeah,
the cat. I like the cat.
Miracles and magic. I love that. And I have to jump into this. So, Noemi, the two things that really came up, like big questions, were, could I ask for help if I wasn't wounded? That's now we're into how comfortable am I receiving? And the other question it was partnered with, I came up with, was, where do I offer compassion in life? So do I link, like, if I see somebody who's wounded or in pain, I probably offer you, you know, compassion immediately, but not just, I don't mean me, Lisa, but like anybody listening, are you offering compassion to people when you don't even see their wounds, when you don't see their pain? Are you still able to offer, and are you offering compassion, or is, or are we depending on witnessing pain or wounds to offer compassion? And if that's the case, I would think then that a lot of people are masquerading in wound and pain because that's the only way of receiving.
Well, so yes, I think that there's I think that yes, that's something that some people, right, we have identified with being wounded, and when they're wounded, they get attention. They get, yes, people cook for them, people take care of them, people call them, yes, they message them, how are you doing, are you feeling better, I'm here for you. And are we here for us? And so compassion itself is about being here for us. And so we go looking externally for the, so there's, you know, people that tend to look externally for help, but they don't necessarily want to ask for help. So you can ask if you're wounded, so you can identify with that and let people know you're feeling extra wounded today and stuff like that. And then, so you have that. And then you have the people that just will never ask for help, even if they're bleeding, you know. So, and there's no compassion either way, because compassion accepts the humanity within us, accepts all of that. You know, if we have to be strong all the time, we're lacking in self-compassion, because we have to identify as the rock of the family or the strong one. Yes. And right. And then if we're needing help all the time, we're identifying with being not, maybe not good enough, or, you know, needing, you know, feeling insecure, needing that extra attention, and so that extra love. And so all of this, to me, when I'm hearing all of these different sides of it, it's like two sides of the same coin of like no self-compassion. And for me, when I hear about compassion, is a self-compassion piece that really, really stands out, because that, to me, it's easier for me to have compassion for other people sometimes than for myself, you know.
Yes. For others versus ourselves. That is so, when you mentioned the word attention, I was thinking of, and then you said about people calling and asking how you are, I heard the word attend to, like you will, not just attention, but being tended to. Mm-hmm. And interesting, so I grew up with a very sick mother. She was in and out of the hospital all the time, and if anybody sees me or knows me, I'm a makeup girl. I do my makeup even for the cats. I call it cat makeup. But so
yes,
when
you
I
are.
Was yes, and so when I was younger, I wore makeup all my life. And I was in, I would always do my makeup, and if I had like you know, I don't even know, if I got hurt or injured and I needed to go to the hospital, I would have my makeup on, and my mom would always say, well, don't put your makeup on. They're not going to believe that you're even hurt. Nobody will tend to you, you know, and, or they'll get to others first. And so I was taught, which I always said, mom, this makeup stand on. But see, but the thing is that I do have it embedded in me. If I don't look like I'm wounded or hurt enough, somebody else will get the attention, and I do need it. I'm ill or broke my arm or something. But I always remember being taught that lesson. And what lessons like that have we been taught by our family, our parents, or have been? We have been injured. Do we look? Well, you don't look sick enough to not go to school. That's not a high enough fever. Your sister's way more sick, you know, or something like that. Attention, where do we have enough compassion to give ourselves attention?
Sure, yeah. So whatever the role is that has been programmed into us from our relationship with woundedness, whether you're never too sick to go to school, you're never too sick to do this, you don't need anyone, look at me, you know, I've look at all these awards, look at this and that, or that, you know, let me try not to go to school because mom will spend some time with me and say, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? You know, and so
care and concern,
all of these roles we learn to play and all of these games we learn to play because we are not okay within ourselves and we don't feel okay. We don't feel okay enough to just to show up as fully us, to say, yeah, I don't feel like going to school today. I just don't want to. So it's more like, oh, I have a stomach ache, you know? And so that there's a place of non-acceptance. To me, compassion and acceptance are so linked together. And there's this place of non-acceptance of ourselves. And so we have to play these games. When we are in self-compassion, we don't need those games. We can accept. We can accept all of the woundedness and see it with eyes of love.
I love that. And I think that's the question for the divine, is how do we clear away at least enough, push them aside enough, the roles and the programmings to offer that compassion and acceptance of just who we are. So how do we clear away roles? We've all been programmed something. So mm-hmm. how do we begin to have either compassion to clear, or how do we clear to have compassion? I don't know which one it is.
So
acceptance is in there.
Yes. So okay. I'm not sure of the wording, but they are. So we'll go in again and hear the beauty and the wisdom. Hear what the divine has to say. Okay. One second. Hello, Divine. So thankful for your first message here, and looking to gain some more clarity about how do we clear away what is in the way between us and compassion, and how do we embrace the compassion to clear those away, and how do we fully learn? Well, let's just start learning to embrace ourselves with compassion and whatever else was the intention, as you know what it is. So grateful for your clarity. And we are grateful to offer the clarity. We see you wanting to strip away the external roles, the external layers that keep you from yourself, from seeing yourself, from owning yourself, from embracing yourself and loving yourself. Because if you saw yourself as we see us, as we see you, and as all of us see you, then you would love yourself easily. You would have compassion easily. You would do what serves you easily and serves others easily. And so it is that which keeps you, the way you see yourself, keeps you from being fully you, and it keeps you from embracing you, and it keeps you from compassion. You have been seeing yourself as not the truth of who you are. You've been seeing yourself, some of you say you have imposter syndrome. You've been seeing yourself as an imposter, and that is not true either. You've been seeing yourself as someone you're not. But it is not that you've intentionally chose to masquerade as an imposter. You were told that you were not good enough, or you concluded that you were not good enough. You concluded that you should be this way, but you're that way. And so put forward the best foot, put forward the best face, put forward the impression that others will embrace, that you can accept. And so you have been so programmed away from yourself. You've been programmed away from being you. You've been programmed to be something other than you. And so in this place of not being you, how can you have compassion for you? You must first recognize that you are not being you, that this is not you, this person who is feeling bad, this person who is feeling not good enough, the person who is feeling unloved and unworthy and broken and sorrow-filled, and traumatized and all of these things is not even you. It is who you experience yourself as you, but it is not the full truth of you. It is the tip of the iceberg of you, and beneath that tip is this beauty and grace and power and love. And each one of you is uniquely love. Each one of you is uniquely, brilliantly, amazingly beautiful. If only you could see it, but you are riding the surface and seeing the tip. So be willing to dive deep. And again, we offer that if those that know you and love you, they've seen the depths of you, maybe not fully, but more than you have. Ask them. It takes courage. Ask them and you will receive. But ask us. Sit in silence, meditate, be in a quiet space, and ask us to show you the truth of who you are. And we will peel away some layers and offer you a glimpse. We will not peel away the layers and then leave you exposed, but we will offer you the glimpse of who you are. And so to see that enables you to drop the roles. It enables you to reprogram yourself. And yet, without the willingness to do that, the willingness to see who you are, the willingness to know yourself, the willingness to go beyond what you believe to be true about yourself, you cannot then see the true self. So both are needed, the willingness and then the glimpse. We will offer you a glimpse that will surprise you, even shock you, of how amazing you are. We have created all of you as wondrous beings, and you are still those wondrous beings, even though you have layered upon that your egos and the wounds and the roles and the losses and the griefs and the relationships which offer you joy and pain. All of that is layered on top of who you are. Oh, the essence of you is delightful. And if you could delight yourself in yourself in a true way, not an egoic way, not in the way of narcissism, because there's no delight for the narcissist. They may appear to be delighted, but they are not. But pure delight in the essence of who you are. We delight in it. When each of you is born, we are filled with delight. Just as the newborn parents are filled with delight in looking at that child many times. And we are filled with delight because your essence is there. It's close to the surface, and so many layers get piled upon that essence. And so the essence goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper below the surface. And so that willingness to see the truth of who you are, that willingness to have that compassion, and asking us to show you the glimpse, to show you the beauty, to show you the power. And yes, it is always okay to be you, because it is who you are. It is never not okay to be you, except in the world in which you live, in which you've been told that it's not okay, in which people have told you you're not okay. But we tell you, you are okay. And we are talking to the depths of you. The truth of you is more than okay. It is beautiful, profound, brilliant. And we love you so much. And we are complete. Namaste.
I absolutely thought the most beautiful part of that was it really, that message really, really, to me, said, look at yourself as a newborn and offer that compassion. Like, right to the beginning of this life. You know, the innocence, the purity, the...
Yeah.
Yes.
That. And that the divine sees us that way.
Yes, as, like that was fun.
Is always seeing us that way, the way we see that newborn, and we're like, oh, how beautiful.
They're perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. That is the best message, I think. That now, if that doesn't help align your needle on your compass, I don't know what would.
Then I say come back in 2 weeks on the 25th, because we'll do more aligning, more recalibrating.
Yes. All right. Well, this is the calibration so that we can experience the miracles of living beyond wounds, because wounds are not a sentence. Ooh, we should use that.
Okay. Well, when you do the write-up. And I don't know what the other, you said you had two other shows already envisioned. So I'll wait to hear those too.
Yes,
it's not a life sentence. It is not who we are. Exactly. We acquire wounds like we acquire possessions. Ooh.
Yeah.
We acquire them. We're not And yet we're attached, right? We can be attached to our possessions. People are attached to their car, their house, their jewelry, their iPhone, whatever, you know? And so we are attached to the wounds too, just like we are attached to our possessions. Wow.
And there can be such pleasure that we can derive from a wound, and it's okay to look. And when we look at that with compassion and say, yes, there is some pleasure that I am deriving from this, or there's a lesson, or there's a miracle to come of it. So I just think, oh, I'm loving the miracles. I'm so glad that our compass is working its way to becoming aligned to our true north. And I love that feeling. And thank you, Noemi, for showing up here and knowing how to get to the spot to be able to help us. Thank you so much.
It is a gift. Oh, and thank you for showing up with me. This is not something I would do by myself and talk for an hour. It's just the connection that we bring. It just raises the vibration so for the divine to speak. So until 2 weeks.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Until 2 weeks from now, Monday, noon Eastern time. We'll see you then. Thanks, everybody. Mm-hmm. Bye, Noemi.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye-bye.